Joshua chapter 10 and reading from verse number 1. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhira, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up with me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly, and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the inhabitants of war with him, all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, that were in going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more that died with hailstones than them whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still in the moon's stead until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, but the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. Please be seated. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this morning. I think I mentioned before that Joshua's plan, if you like, we know that God was behind it, in conquering Canaan, was to, first of all, cut it up the middle. And that's why Jericho had to go and Ai had to go. And then he would concentrate on the south and then the north, hoping to conquer all of the land of Canaan. What we have in chapter 10 is Joshua dealing with the southern nations, the second of this three-pronged attack upon Canaan. And you'll have noticed from our reading that really this was a battle to protect Gibeon. Remember how the Gibeonites had tricked their way into the camp last week, but Israel had promised to protect them. Israel had promised to look after them, and so they were going to keep their word, and they were going to defend Gibeon. These southern kings came together all to fight against Gibeon. This would be the biggest fight that Joshua ever had encountered up to this time as Israel's military leader. But right throughout this chapter, you'll read that Joshua triumphed gloriously. It is a chapter of victory. A chapter indeed where there is much blessing. But as we know from our own Christian life, and as you will know, in the land of blessing, it's always going to be a land of battles. There's always going to be difficulties. There's always going to be trials and tribulations. The Christian life is never easy. And I think all of us who are saved for a period of time realize this. Some believe that Paul had Joshua in mind when he penned those words in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we can see why. You remember Jericho had been taken with a shout. Ai had been taken by strategy. Gibeon really were taken by surrender. But still the battles would rage on. But as I said, in this chapter you'll see something of the greatness and goodness of God. Look at verse 42. and all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And that's what we want. We want God to be on our side. If you look at verse 32, I'm not going to read all these verses, just to set the scene this morning. And the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, which took it. Verse 35, and they took it on that day. Verse 37, and they took it. Verse 39, and he took it. City after city would fall. Joshua was having a victorious time. It was a blessed time, but it was a bruising time. And sometimes on our pathway to blessing, there's going to be that bruising. He fought daily. He fought with devotion. When I say he, I include the children of Israel. And they fought with determination. I'm reminded of the hymn, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win." And it seemed to be the case with Joshua. As he won one victory, it encouraged him in the next victory. And it seemed that truly each victory helped him to win the next victory. And sometimes that's true with temptation. As I looked upon this passage, I'm going to maybe look at it in a strange way this morning. I want to think of these five kings. And I want to ask you this morning, have you some king-sized problems? Not only king-sized problems, but king-sized sins. Because sometimes we have king-sized sins that have never truly been dealt with. Or we can have king-sized problems. And I want to see, how can we overcome them? How can we have victory? How can we know the help of the Lord? There are really four main groups of people. There are the Gibeonites in this passage. There are the Israelites. There are the five kings that we've read about this morning. There's Joshua. But of course, above all, the Lord must have the preeminence. I want to talk, first of all, I'm trying to set the scene this morning, about a problem that is recurring. I would hazard a guess that in all of our lives, there is that sin that doth so easily beset us. I would say in all of our lives there are some king-sized sins, some sins that recur in our lives, and they seem to, from time to time, get a victory over us. Paul, explaining this in Ephesians 4, verse 22, said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. He talks about the old man, the old nature. And then he said in verse 24, put on the new man, that's the new nature. And it's indicated in Scripture that even though we're saved, the old nature's there. And sometimes that old nature, in fact all the time, will try and war against the new nature. And there's that internal battle. That battle that goes on. And when we're close with the Lord, when we're filled with the Spirit, yes, we're controlled by the Spirit. But sometimes we let the Lord down. Sometimes the flesh takes over. And the old man comes to the fore. And that's really the battle that all of us have to face as God's children. Paul said in Romans 6 verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I think you'll understand what I'm talking about this morning. Remember, the Gibeonites had tricked Joshua into making peace with them. However, the Gibeonites had been close friends of these five kings. Look at verse number 1. It came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And when he heard about that, he was really annoyed. Verse 2, and they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Satan doesn't like to lose ground. And God's people had conquered, and here was Gibeon, and it had made peace with Joshua. And so the enemies of Israel are annoyed, just like the devil gets annoyed when someone gets saved, or someone makes progress. As we seek as an assembly to make progress, I know the devil will be annoyed. And sometimes we can't live like this, but sometimes we're wondering, I wonder who he's going to use. I wonder how he's going to get into the assembly. I wonder who's going to be the weakest link. Who's going to open the door and let him in through a disagreement or fallouts or whatever it happens to be. But Satan doesn't like to lose ground. He doesn't like to lose captives. Look what he does in verse 3. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto him. Here are these five kings. He wants these five kings to help him. Interestingly, his name means Lord of Righteousness. What a name for an ungodly man to have. What a name for a character like this to have. But of course it challenges us. We're called Christians. We're called children of light, sons of God, heirs of God, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I wonder sometimes, do we not live up to the name? This man certainly didn't live up to the name Lord of Righteousness. This king thought the best thing to do was to fight and not to surrender. I wonder, just as I stop for a moment, I wonder if you know people that have been saved and you've seen the Lord take ground. I wonder, are you like this king, you've decided to fight it? Remember what the Lord said to Paul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In spite of people being saved in your home and in your family, and you've maybe seen friends and relatives saved by the grace of God, and this king could see his friends had made peace with Joshua. And rather than seek peace with Joshua, he said, I'm going to fight this. Have you decided to fight against the Lord rather than surrender and come and trust him as your Savior? Let me say this, it's a battle that you're going to lose. It's a battle that you cannot win. Verse number 3. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and all of these kings. He contacts his neighbors, organizes this military alliance against Gibeon, 5 against 1. You would think that this is going to be no problem. You can see how these sinners all come together. And of course, sin likes company, doesn't it? Sin likes company. But here are these five kings, and I was trying to think of the five keen sins that sometimes easily beset us. And of course, it's not a list that's definitive. It's not a list that I really can make up, but as I sat down and meditated, surely pride is one of these sins. Pride is one of these things. When we advance for Christ, then pride can come in. Sometimes self-centeredness would be another one. We don't really want to surrender to the Lord. Do you remember when the Lord challenged those who wanted to be his disciples? Do you remember the one said, suffer me first? And that's the problem with many of God's people. It's me first. And it can't be me first and Christ first. And so sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's self-centeredness. Sometimes it's envy and jealousy. My, you're going on well and then you fall for the old trick, don't you? Somebody gets a position that you didn't get. Someone gets recognition that you didn't get. Someone gets something that you would love to have or would love to deprive them of. And then the old sin is there again. And there it is, the old nature wins again. What's the five keen sins in your life or my life? Maybe covetousness, materialism, the love of money. Sometimes it's the root of bitterness, just bitterness. There's an old bitterness in there and you can't get rid of it. There was a hurt years ago. Maybe in this assembly, maybe in another assembly, maybe in your family, maybe in the community, there's a hurt that you just cannot deal with. And every time you seem to make one step forward, that root of bitterness takes over and you're crippled again. I don't know what your five keen sins are. Maybe you don't have five. Perhaps just like Demas, remember, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Maybe your problem was you just fell in love with the world. Remember, sin likes company, and maybe you went for the wrong company. And these sins have drawn you from the Lord. Sometimes there's keen-sized sins. Sometimes there's keen-sized problems. If you notice in verse number 5, everything's out in the open. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together, went up they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Here they're out in the open. And sometimes that sin's out in the open and you can see it. But then if you look at verse number 16, it says that these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. Now, they're still there, but they're not in the open. And we'll see this as the story progresses. Sometimes there's sins and we put them in the cave, but they've never truly been dealt with. And now and again they come out of the cave. And here's the picture I'm trying to paint this morning. Sometimes it's something with our hands, something we do. Sometimes it's something with our eyes, something that we watch. Sometimes it's something that we listen to with our ears. Sometimes it's our feet and they take us in the wrong direction. Sometimes it's our tongue. And it says something it shouldn't. And it just loves to gossip and talk about other people. And perhaps is dishonest. And sometimes they just get out of the cave, don't they? And we feel rotten after it. We feel bad after it. And these kings were dormant. But at that stage they weren't defeated. Let me just leave it there at the moment with the problem that is recurring. And I think all of us have this. And maybe this morning with you it's a king-sized sin. Maybe with you it's a king-sized problem. And I'm trying to have a two-pronged attack on this morning. You see the problem that's recurring. There's something there that needs to be dealt with. Maybe it's a problem, maybe it's a sin. But of course sin is a problem enemy, isn't it? Then I want to talk about the person to rely on. What did the Gibeonites do? Look at verse number 4. Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for he hath made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel. They had made peace with Joshua. Now, let me apply this in a way this morning. Remember, Joshua of the Old Testament has exactly the same name as Jesus of the New Testament. And here's people who have made peace with Joshua. And because they have made peace with Joshua, there is going to be trouble for them. And of course, that's true of every child of God. But they had made peace with the Lord. And because of that, then the old devil doesn't want to leave them alone. But how are they going to handle these five kings? Look what they do in verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent on to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal. You see who they turned to? They turned to Joshua. You see, I wonder, have you got a king-sized problem this morning? Have you a king-sized sin this morning? Have you taken it to Jesus? You know, why would they come to Joshua? Because they took Joshua at his word. And here are some things they realized when they looked for Joshua's help. And I hope you can make the application this morning. They recognized their own strength was useless. Isaiah 40 verse 29, speaking of the Lord, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. They realized, here's something that they can't deal with. Is there a sin? Is there a problem? Their own strength they knew. Something else, I love the way they come. You see, they talk about thy servants, they come humbly. We don't come to the Lord demanding. We come to the Lord humbly because we deserve nothing. You see how they come. They realized their own strength was useless. They realized they were just servants. You know, there was a seriousness to their cry. They said, come up quickly. Joshua knew they meant business. Do you really want to deal with that sin? Have you really taken this problem to the Lord? There was a simplicity to how they come. Save us. Help us. You can't make it any simpler than that. Like Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. They realized that they could depend on Joshua and they'd taken their problem to Joshua. Have you brought it really to Joshua yet this morning? Your Joshua, have you brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, they took the king-sized problem and they left it with Joshua. Something else, there was sincerity here. Look at verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For the kings of the Amorites, I want you to catch that word. All the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountain are gathered together unto us. I want you to see what they did here. They told them everything. All the kings. You see, if there's a sin that does so easily beset you this morning, there's no point going to the Lord and talking round in circles. Will you just come and set it before him this morning? Just be honest with him this morning. They told him about all the kings. They didn't leave anything out. Have you brought the problem to the Lord this morning? Have you laid it out before him? There was king-sized sins. There was king-sized problems. There's no fudge here. There's no spin here. There's no watering it down here. There's nothing added to here. They just tell him the whole thing. You see the strength, the servant, the seriousness, the simplicity, the sincerity. There's something superb here. You see, they realized that Joshua is the man that could help them, even though they were outnumbered, even though there were giants on the other side, even though they were overwhelmed. They came to Joshua. They knew Joshua's position. They knew he was the ruler. They knew about Joshua's power. They knew about Joshua's passion. How much more when we think of our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ? We know about his position. He is our ruler. He is the Lord. We know about his power. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. We know about his passion, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You remember when John the Baptist had been beheaded, they took up the body and buried it. You know what it says? They went and told Jesus. Isn't that prayer? It's not really what prayer should be. They went and told Jesus. And they knew that Jesus would care. The Gibeonites knew that Joshua wouldn't let them down. You know what it says in verse number 9? He traveled all night. I wonder, was it a long night for the Gibeonites? Do you know what it's like not to be able to sleep for a long night? I'm sure you do. And I'm sure they tossed and they turned and they worried and they're wondering, how am I going to get out of this? What are we going to do? I wonder, did they even realize that through the night Joshua was working for them? Through the darkest of times, Joshua was working for them. They couldn't see it. They didn't know it. But I believe in their hearts they knew it. Because they trusted Joshua. Could I say to you this morning in your darkest hour, don't think the Lord's not working on your behalf. And here Joshua travels through the night. You see the problem that's recurring. You see the person to rely on. I should say that he traveled, I think it's 15 to 20 miles. He had to go 1,500 feet above, so it was a tough journey. Let me say this. The enemies probably thought that Joshua would never make such a hard journey. Are you telling yourself in your heart that it's too bad? It's so bad that I don't think the Lord's going to help me. But Joshua that night traveled through this terrain 15 to 20 miles and he was heading uphill. When the enemy thought that Joshua wouldn't care and he wouldn't make, in fact they probably thought Joshua will not be bothered. Are you telling yourself that the Lord's not going to be bothered? King-sized sins, king-sized problems. You see the problem is occurring. You see the person to rely on. Here's the place to retreat to. Look at verses 6 and 7. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp at Gilgal. I just want you to notice where they were. Look at verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal. Now we can't read these this morning. Verse 9, we read they're in Gilgal. Verse 15, they're in Gilgal. Verse 43, they're in Gilgal. Over and over again, they have a battle. They go back to Gilgal. They go back to Gilgal. Now, what happened at Gilgal? Do you remember when they crossed through the River Jordan? Do you remember they set up the stones on the riverbank? Speaks about the death of Christ. Do you remember when they reached the other side, they set up the stones on the bank? Speaks to us of the resurrection of Christ for them. It reminded them of what God was able to do. Do you remember it was there they were circumcised? It was renunciation. Do you remember there they commemorated the Passover feast? Remember there they feasted on the old corn of the land? Do you remember it was there that Joshua met the Lord? Face to face. Do you remember he had that meeting with the Lord just before the battle in Jericho? What does your goal remind me about this morning? It reminds me of Calvary. Don't you need to get to Calvary? Spend some time at the cross. Remember, there was one who loved you so much that he died for you. One who rose again triumphant. One who lives to be your Savior. One who wants you to feed on the old corn of the land. And you can have a face-to-face meeting with the Lord. Where better than Calvary? Just get back to the cross. Get back. Is it a sin this morning? Oh, you need to get back to the cross. Is it a problem this morning? You need to get back to the cross this morning. You see, you need to realize that you're marching from victory, that you're on the winning side. Look at verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gur, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man stand before thee. And here's a wonderful promise that they find at Gilgal. The Lord has promised them that He'll be with them and He will look after them. But look what the Lord does in verses 10 to 11. You see the mighty miracle? He sends hailstones upon them. Look what He does in verse number 12. The mightiest and last miracle in this book that sees, it talks about the sun standing still and the moon not moving. This is how Joshua would see it. Time stood still. Isn't it good to see someone looking more time to serve the Lord? So many of God's people want to cut down what they're doing for the Lord. Joshua says, Lord, give me a longer day that we can sort this victory out. Give us a longer day. And God stepped in miraculously on two occasions. Maybe you need a miracle. I'll tell you, God is the God of miracles. Spurgeon said, it's not for us to soften down the miracles, but to glorify God in them. Verse 13, the sun stood still and the moon stayed. What a mighty miracle it was. I want to make it simple this morning. Here's an overwhelming enemy. They had the man, Joshua. We had the man, Christ Jesus. They got the message in verse number 8. Fear them not. You know, He gave them a message of peace. He gave them a promise. I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. You had the man, you had the message, and then you had the miracles. And God stepped in a wonderful and in a mighty way. With the heal in verses 10 to 11 and with the miracle in the heavens, verses 12 to 14. You see, God can do things that no one else can do. Have you really taken it to the Lord this morning? Are you trusting Him this morning? Is there a king-sized sin that needs to be dealt with? Is there a king-sized problem? Have you taken it to Joshua? Have you been to Calvary? Look at the power to remove the kings. Look at verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And here is the Lord, here is Joshua making this journey, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day which the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, I just want you to see how Joshua prayed for them. And it's good that God's people are praying for you. But you know the wonderful thing? We have one who ever liveth to make intercession for us. I want you to get back to these five kings. Look at verse 22. Then said Joshua, you remember they were hiding in the cave. And Joshua had sealed the cave. Open the mouth of the cave and bring out these five kings unto me out of the cave. And Joshua says, bring them to me. And I'm thinking specifically now about king-sized sins. These sins that keep recurring, you thought they were done, but they're just in the cave sleeping. And something happens and they awaken. And Joshua says, bring them to me. Look at verse 24. It came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which were with them, come near, put your feet upon the neck of these kings. And Joshua says, now we want to deal with these kings. We want them dealt with thoroughly and completely. Put your feet on their neck. We're not pussyfooting about this morning. If it's a problem this morning, you want to get on top of it with the Lord's help. If it's a sin this morning, you want to get over it this morning and put your foot on it and stamp it out. Verse 26, afterward Joshua smote them and slew them, hanged them on five trees that were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Do you know what Joshua done? Joshua slew them. Let me make it very simple and very practical. Do you know what they did? They brought them to the Lord and the Lord pointed them to the tree. If you're serious about these king-sized sins, you're going to have to bring them to the Lord. You're going to have to be honest with the Lord. And say, Lord, I want to put my foot in the neck of this once and for all. And you'll find forgiveness at Calvary. And you'll find the power in the precious blood to overcome this. And to live a life of victory. Romans 6 verse 14, for sin shall not have a dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. In verse 27, it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down of the trees and cast them into the cave wherewith they had been hid, laid great stones in the cave's mouth which remain unto this day. And this cave became their grave. And they would never come out of it again. They'd been dealt with thoroughly, dealt with completely. And there was no coming back for these king-sized sins. Do you remember how it started? They took it to Joshua. And they told them all the kings. I wonder, are you holding something back from the Lord this morning? Are you being honest with the Lord this morning? Do you really want these sins dealt with? Or do you just want to put it in a cave? And then you can play with it at some time in the future. Or will you put your foot on the neck of it and look to Calvary this morning and be done with it? King-sized sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Let me say something to those who don't know the Lord this morning. These kings hid in a cave. And you know, they were hiding. But you know what Joshua did? Joshua opened it up and they had to face Joshua. And they faced judgment. And you know, Adam tried to hide from the Lord. And maybe you're hiding from the Lord this morning and you won't deal with your sin problem and you won't get saved. And you're hiding in this little cave. Listen, one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and you're going to have to face him as your judge. And as I said, that cave became their grave. The danger is the way you live is the way you die and you'll be in hell for all eternity. And you need to come to Calvary this morning. And you need to find Christ this morning and be through with it. I've tried to apply this in a couple of ways this morning. I hope you were able to stay with me. If you have a king-sized problem, the Lord can help you like no one else can. If there's king-sized sins this morning, will you come to Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you get to Calvary this morning? Do you really want these sins to be dealt with? Or are you trying to make a fool out of the Lord? Because he's got the power to deal with it. But he needs you and me to be honest this morning. You know, I'm finished, but when you read through this chapter, all 40 some odd verses, you know, it's interesting that Joshua got involved in this battle and all the men were involved and all that takes place, and yet throughout this chapter the Lord gets the glory. Do you remember what we read in verse 42? The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Let me do this very quickly this morning. Verse 8, I have delivered, the Lord said. Verse 10, the Lord discomfited the enemy. Verse 11, the Lord cast down great stones. Verse 12, the Lord delivered up the Amorites. Verse 19, the Lord your God hath delivered them. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Will you really take hold of him this morning? You can see in chapter 10 what the Lord is able to do
what the Lord could do in Joshua's day, the Lord can do in your day. The Lord. Will you trust Him? If there's king-sized sins, don't spoil your life. If there's a king-sized problem, will you really get it to the Lord this morning? And let Him help you. And let Him be your strength. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Thy word this morning. And Lord, as we read through this chapter, we often wonder, where's the application? I want to thank You, Lord, for speaking into my heart. Thank You, Lord, for showing me keen-sized things that need to be dealt with. Thank You, Lord, for reminding us this morning of this keen-sized sins or keen-sized problems. We've got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, if there's someone here not saved, Lord, may they come out of the cave this morning and seek Christ as their Savior. Lest that cave becomes their grave and they be lost for all eternity. Any child of God battling with sin, Lord, just bring it home to their heart that there's victory in Christ this morning. We thank that we've a God who can deal with keen-sized problems. Lord, just encourage Thy people this morning. Encourage us in these difficult and dark and desperate times. Lord, just like we've read Joshua chapter 10, as we read the chapter in our own life, we'll be able to look back and say, to God be the glory. Bless Thy word to all of our hearts. Bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, be with us as we wait on around the Lord's table, for it's in our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Could the office bearers please open the doors? And again, if you leave, those who are not staying for the table, those closest to the door leave first. And again, those on the back wall here leave first. And then just leave in an orderly fashion. Thank you so much for your help.